Hello, welcome again to another episode of Global Pause Rethink the Future. So in today's podcast, we're going to be talking about our economy and essentially what we substitute when we are adhering to the specific form of action that we take to produce us as the consumers of life rather than the co-creators of it. Because if we are not its co-creators, then we have a want for life, and our wants we disinhibit our want of life through the way that we secure our time in order to do so. Well, our time is where the time secured is a way that we can recreate the creativity that we've sold out of existence because we've turned life into business activity. And so when we look at it like that, our recreation or the recreation is a substitute for the creativity that we don't demonstrate in our everydayness. And so if you look at it like that, what we have to look at is that why would we conform? Why would we be loyal to such a way of doing things if we consider that our existence is to be blissful? Why have we turned it into business activity that presupposes that you must secure your time in order to be joyous or blissful? All right, so we would say, well, what would the argument be? And there is no argument that can be given other than it's just the way our life is. But if that's the default position, then ultimately what we're doing is that we're not questioning it in a manner that we need to in order to reveal the vestiges of a religiosity that we simply just don't recognize. And we don't recognize the way how that our spiritual aspirations are leveraged in such a way that we have faith in the way that we have essentially just been handed down to us. We don't question it. And so if we don't question it, it's very easy to not question the way how your time is given to you if our whole way of life, the propaganda of our way of life, is substantiating the extent of your agency is defined by your want of it, okay, your want of life, because you're always sold on the way life is given, so you don't think actually, well, what's the mechanism in order for the time that I'm meant to live given? All right, we don't think of it this way because we're never addressing what underlies any interpersonal exchange or any exchange, any commercial activity in our lives. We don't think that our lives are that we run our lives like a business activity, or in fact our human action is economizing action, and so we're seeking a return, you know, the benefit of the existential arbitrage, as it were. Because we've turned ourselves into a means, so we're securing our time as a supplement. The supplement will be styled according to the means that you've made of yourself, so that's determined by its value, its market value in inverted commas. But then all that presupposes is the disinhibition of your wants that are latent, because what our way of life does is it engenders wants. So when you are ready, you can disinhibit your want. And so therefore, any consumables that you partake of, they're always provisional in reference to the means that you can make of yourself, because you can leverage up your aspirations as determined by your wealth, as it were. But in that context, what you're doing is that you are not growing into anything other than your want of life. And what is that? Are you growing into exploring your being or your consciousness? Or the way how that you experience life is as individualized. So if we're going to say that we are orientated towards joy, a lot of the things that we do that are joyous is shared with other people. But if the way how that we share experience with other people is contingent upon the way how we secure time as a supplement in order to provide for that experience, then the experience is contingent or conditioned by the claim that we never address. So that is why that you need to address what underwrites any exchange. And so that's looking at the existential claim on our life, and why is it that we adhere to a line All right, it's a line that's given, that's sold, that's told, that's always given. It's the same thing. And yet if we presuppose economizing action, and so therefore we make our securing a chore, is there a way that we can make our securing not of a time against the relationality, but securing a culture or engendering a culture that is the security that enables us to free ourselves from the chore that we made life into? Now, the only way that you can do that is if you're potentializing human action beyond the economizing action or the business activity that we presuppose. So if you look at around the globe and you think, well, what's human activity? It's just economizing action. It presupposes that we are securing, we've removed creativity out of existence, all right, because we've turned life into business. And people think, people spruik business because all they do is they tout it. They tout it because they don't know any other action other than business activity, because they don't fucking question their way of life, and they don't, there's no opportunity. There's no opportunity cost to your actions as economizing action if you've never been given something that is a cost of those actions. So therefore there's always an opportunity cost of the way how you act. So my point is, if you make the opportunity explicit, but the opportunity is in reference to the potentiality of the relationality, so the way how that you can shift it from want to creativity, then the opportunity is always the way how that you can create with other people. And so it's always the creation of the reception of what you do rather than the object or the thing, as it were. And so the qualitative difference between them is stark. So if we look at it marginally, it's always marginal, I always say, it's marginal in reference to what we do because we are ourselves marginal. And so if you're looking at the way how you can potentialize such an initiative, then it's the way how that the initiatory acts can be a fun way of doing something that's just not been done before. So in the context of like how we potentialize our time beyond the economic good, you know, it can be done in a way that's frivolous maybe, or it can be done in a way that it's artful or playful, all right? It's not that you're a claimant against, so you have this kind of righteousness that's built up into what you're doing. You're actually just playing with something just for the fuck of doing it, because it's just something that nobody's ever done before. Like who thinks if you want to be engaged in, say, an activity, and this is the activity that we're engaged in, we are going to shift the form of life that people just take as a given. So we no longer want to be given as a consumer. And so the what we do, you and I or whoever, that's our creative act. Our creative act is to potentialize people's lives. Think of that. Just think of what that means. I mean, you give yourself credit for actually shifting people from the consumer that they take themselves to be to a co-creator of life. I mean, why wouldn't you want to be involved with something like that? It sounds insane when you say it. It literally does sound insane, because you presuppose so much power in our little fucking small meaningless acts. All right, but they're all marginal. Like I always say, they're marginal to begin with. They'll be even considered to be ridiculous or stupid. But the point is that you're potentializing. This is why I always say that when you're doing this, what are you doing? You're potentializing people to see something that they otherwise don't see. And you have the potential that somebody will receive something and that will spark an idea or a thought where they become involved in what you do. And like I said, so something that seems so meaningless and inconsequential, it can be done with this playfulness, this artfulness, that it's actually quite amusing. And and there's ways that you can do it just to fuck people's shit up when you're looking at mass corporations as well. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can do that we could do if anybody was interested in doing it. But the point is to try to see whether or not anybody is interested in doing it, which this is what I always kind of, all my bullshit is just to see, like, if you want to do it, then we can do stuff. But if there's not enough people to do it, then we'll fucking never know. But the thing about it is that what you're doing is that you're incrementally doing something that you might consider inconsequential, All right. But then it's something that's maybe a little bit joyous, a little bit fun. But then if you're potentializing that and you're potentializing your fun in doing it, and then you're potentializing other people, what you're doing is that you are potentializing the joy in the mean of our existence rather than the feeling that we have to secure our time against the relationality. You're doing it with other people and doing something together where it's kind of fun doing. All right. As much as it might be dispersed, you know, on other, on the other side of the planet, as it were. But then it's also the way how you share your experience of what you're doing, and whether or not there might be, you know, experiences might be, it might be some funny antidote. There might be something that is amusing as a result of doing it. All right, that adds to the joy of what it is that you do. The point is that if we are doing nothing, all right, like, and I say we, to be a consumer is to spend your time to no end, because we're not potentializing our time. Our time is an economic good, so you spend your time in your leisure is just as good as your labor, right? It's indistinguishable. And the only way that you can potentialize your time, I always say the same fucking thing, it's just the same thing. You have to potentialize your time beyond the economic good, to temporalize place for a common surpassing. So if you break down it, we have to potentialize our time beyond the economic good. That's the first part of the movement. Temporalized place is what would come after, once we've potentialized our time enough that we can actually ground that potential in place. You do, and then you temporalize place again and again and again. What are you doing? You're creating a common surpassing. So they're all this. The three steps involved is a way that you understand what you're doing, but every step is a kind of a joy. You know, the first step is this, well, why? Like, people think they're consumers. It's just to play with that idea of the way how you can get people to think that they're not, and to place like the placeholders or the cards, the green cards, in any way, shape or form, and the art that you can use, the art form, the proficiency, the talent that you have in order to engage with the no one, right? And you do that, all right? You're potentializing, and like I said, you're building up the community, the indivisibility of a people, because then when you come together and then there's enough people that are doing it, and you can build enough, you can build a demos, you can build a people out of this quite easy. I mean, you only have to look at the way how like conscious consumption and all these other kind of movements are, but they're not singular. They're all causes. You're looking at the ultimate cause, which is your production as a consumer. It seems outrageous to even say it like that, but that's why not? Why not just fucking do something that's just totally insane? And so then, if you take that up, and then you've got the voice, you've got the voice of a chorus of a people. It commands because ultimately the opportunity that businesses are attracted to is they're attracted to people, but they can't align with your values if what you're doing is you're potentializing your time beyond the economic good, which is the preeminent value that we're orientated towards in our market-orientated way of life. They can't fucking take the piss in that regards. If they're going to engage you in the manner that they have to engage you in the creative enterprise. So if they're engaging in the creative enterprise, hear that you are creating the grounds for another way that you can introduce joy into the mean of your existence, because it's no longer a cultural affinity that you would have with the business. It's the way how that the business kind of coheres with the intent of the community of that people. And so therefore it's not that you share like v like. You share, but you share in the creation of what you're doing, the intentionality of creating a world, of embodying the ethos. So in that case, rather than like working for businesses that are big corporations, you're working for people that are very much like you, that are engaged with the same thing. And then you have this sharing of what you're doing beyond the enterprise, because this is what business does. Always touts intangibles. I always say this. They always touts. They want to engage you as a person, but they can't because you're always an employer. In that context, you still will be an employee, as it were. But there'll be something upon the relationality is not based upon that. All right, and this is the thing, because both you and the business are working towards something. You literally are unmarketing the relation, and that can be demonstrated. And the only way that you unmarket the relation, well, is you're unmarketing the pretense of the provisioning, of making life into a chore, of making it into business. The business owner in that context will see their enterprise as not just a business enterprise, but it's a creative enterprise, because it facilitates the creativity that you are part of, that everybody is part of. It's a completely fucking different way of doing things, is what I always talk about. So in that context, you are potentializing. Once again, we're still in the same step. To temporalize places when everybody comes together and just to have a fucking celebration. Just like, why wouldn't you? Because that's ultimately what life's about. Life's about joy, about sharing. So in those moments where you've got all these people that are potentialized and you've got particular businesses that may be involved, and all you're doing is you're going to get together and you're going to share in the moment in the way where it is not a commercial enterprise, is not a commercial endeavor. It's a sharing of the community. So through that, it's a celebration. It's just a celebration of life. That's all it is, a party, however way you want to fucking do it. And there it is, it temporalizes, bang. You got that lightning strike to the ground, all right? What you're doing is that potentializing your time beyond the economic good grounds itself on the earth, just there, just like that, just for an instant, all right? But once again, this is a point. But what you're doing is you're grounding the aspiration to earth. You're grounding it in a way where what it does is becomes real. It becomes real. It becomes, you're creating a cultural dynamic that just hasn't existed before. All right, that everybody is creating. This is the thing about it. Everybody has ownership over it. All right, their ownership in, they're invested in it. And I hate to use the word invest because it sounds like you're a value, but you're not. You're investing to remove a claim. It seems bizarre because whenever there is value, there's a claim that claims that value. This is what I always talk about. It's an existential. All right, so in that case, what you're doing is that it's the only way that could be a common surpassing is if those grounding of that aspiration in those moments occurs again and again and again. Because what you're doing then, you're potentializing the common surpassing, because you're potentializing the ecosystem to become economy, to become a world. So the three steps, I always say, it's an ecosystem, economy, world. You have to potentialize your time beyond the economic, you have to temporalize. You have to potentialize your time beyond the economic good. You have to temporalize place. So that's another three. And then you have for a common surpassing. One, two, three. They're all the same. They're all connected. All right. Because an ecosystem relates to what? It's a retail ecosystem. Why would it be a retail ecosystem? Because you're the end, you're the product, you're the consumer. Every good, every factor of production, every secondary go goes towards a finished good, which is orientated towards you as the end user. So you have to start at a retail ecosystem, but you're potentializing that retail ecosystem to potentialize economy, are you not? Of course you are. So that relates to the way that you integrate the value adds of a supply chain to eventually until you get to the ground, literally a farm. Okay, because then what you're doing is that you've got from woe to go, you've got the whole connection between the two. So if you go right down to the ground, what have you got? Well, you've got literally an economy, because then what you're doing is you're potentializing what? The provisioning of necessities, right? Food. All right, so you start, this is why, because the thing is that once you do that and the way how you share with each other, what's the want of life for? Modern people have got it fucking wrong, because it's this want of life. It's just the necessities. What are the necessities? The necessities are food, shelter and clothing, and everything else is fucking art. So create an artful way that you provide for those things. That's what we're doing. That's all you're doing. I think I did it on a video which I deleted from YouTube because nobody ever fucking watched it, which was basically the circle. If you understand, say, yoga and the gunas, they've got sattva, raja and tamas, and it's got a circle and it's got the om symbol in the middle. And so the triad here is touches basically the circle. You can use the circle as art. And every point is food, shelter and clothing. They touch the circle. So where it touches on the circle, all right, is where the art. And the art just goes along the circumference of the circle. You're potentializing the way how that you artfully give, the artfully create. Now, the more that you potentialize one, say, node, so if you're looking at, say, if you're starting from food, well, then you're looking at the way how that you start from food, from a cafe, say, from then the way how you potentialize your time, you know, working in a cafe. Then it relates to the way of the supplies of the produce to that cafe, then it relates to the ultimate, like, so if you're looking at distribution, right down to the farmer. Now it seems like when you say it so quickly, it sounds too utopian. But I always say that we're removing our unavowed utopianism. It's not fucking utopia. This is so grounded in actually to ground ourselves on the earth. We're removing an existential claim, which is a vestige of a transcendentalism that is the vestiges that presupposes no place. No place for your time. You're removing no place for your time to have a sense of time that's not accounted for, that's primordial, and so therefore you have a sense of place that you share because you're not accounting for yourself. If you're not accounting for yourself, you're not accounting for the way how you produce yourself as a consumer. I always say that the factor of production that goes in towards a commodity is obviously the denominator of time as an economic good. Time is used in the production of commodities just as much as what it's used that you use to produce yourself as a consumer. So if you remove time as a constraint, you're removing the factor that goes into your production. So if you remove that, what occurs? Well, you've still got activity, but it's artful because you're not, what you do is not constrained against time. You're not ordered yourself or challenged against it. You have the allowance. That's the art, right? And everybody potentializes it. So when you say something like that you can say it in one sentence and it just sounds fucking utopian, but I always come back to it. It's a fact. No, we're utopian now, and the mere fact that we can't see it gives you an illustration of the problem or the issue that we have to address. We have to address the fact that we can't fucking see what we're beholden to. And that, so doing it incrementally, doing it artfully, playfully, is a way that you remove that recreation that is a supplementary to what you do to immunitize the creation, the creativity of what you can do and in the way how you do it and the way you share with other people. Anyway, another one of my bullshit things. Check out my website if you want to, just to look at all my other crap. Yeah, anyway, till next time, take care.